Well, good morning, ladies, and welcome to the session that's called True Brew, a study on an authentic Christian life. And it's been an exciting little study for me. I've learned a lot of things, been convicted about a lot of things. And one of the things that I have learned is that an authentic Christian life is not me judging you or you judging me. It is your relationship with the Lord. It's not you deciding for me what my Christian lifestyle will be, because we have different opinions of different things. For example, you could say to me something like this: Carla, your hair is beautiful. I love the color. Is it yours? To which I would say, of course it is. I paid for it with my own money. It belongs to me. It is my authentic hair color, Paul Mitchell 4N. That's my natural hair color. Years ago, when I did have a job that actually paid me money, I didn't have coffee breaks, but I had lunch breaks. And what I would do on my lunch break is grab food and shop, because I have enough clothes and shoes and don't need to go shopping, said no woman ever. I don't think so. That's my mantra. And I enjoy object lessons because I think the Bible is full of them. God uses them. Jesus uses them. He even said he was a door. When he's not really a door, he was a human, and God in human form. He wasn't really a door with a handle. He was the door to which you get eternal life. So today I'm going to talk about Coach purses. I don't personally own one. I love them. I would love to shop for them. I've shopped for these two, and these are my daughters. She has two. I have none. Now, the makers of Coach, when I went to purchase this first one, I knew I couldn't go to a store, so I went online, eBay. And, of course, I was worried that I would not be able to find an authentic one, so I Googled it and tried to find out what I could find out about how to tell if your Coach purse is an authentic Coach purse. And I came across some internet information. The writer was quite detailed and referenced many aspects of this Coach bag that would indicate its authenticity. And strangely enough, what this author said reflect and mirror some of the principles in God's words about how we can have authentic Christian lives. Certain things are important to the makers of Coach. Certain things matter to them. So it is for us. Some things need to matter to us. Let me pray right now before we start. Dear Lord Jesus, as we get ready to open your word and learn your principles about authentic Christian living, first of all, I ask you, Lord, for calmness, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me and use my words. And then secondly, for the ladies today, that you'd have a receptive heart. Let them at least go away today with one principle that they can apply to their life today. And we ask your blessings on the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've always been criticized about my outlines being extremely long. That's because I like to write out the verse for you. So if you look at that first verse, which is Philippians 1:27, and read along as I read out loud. I mean, you follow along as I read out loud. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If you've been around church any length of time, you'll know that the word conversation in the Bible is your lifestyle. It's how you live. It's what others see about you. But the other thing I see in this is that you do need to show other people who you are. Do you have an authentic walk that others can see? That's what Paul says, that whether I see you or somebody tells me what you're doing, I want to know that you're on the same page with me, that you're serving the Lord. And the word that I want to define for you in this passage of scripture is the word becoming. And becoming is a term that we often use when we talk about somebody as their appearance. A sweater is becoming to a person. A hairstyle is becoming to a person. The definition of becoming is suitable or fitting, especially meaning attractively suitable. Becoming is something that you want to wear that somebody would say, wow, that's really nice. So the point of our discussion today is to find out if our lives are becoming to God's glorious gospel, what he did for us on the cross. One of the things that we can do is to maybe compare it to something that may not be becoming. Let's look here. Okay? I don't know if you see his hair. Not becoming. Not becoming. What about this? Oh my word. just because they sell it in your size doesn't mean you should wear it. And I often say to Kristen, if it has an X in the size, it shouldn't be made. And not to mention, you know, this is not becoming to the, you know, the beautiful picture of what a wedding should be. Okay, next. Conduct not becoming the President of the United States. No. That's conduct that's not becoming to him. But let's look at the other end. This is conduct becoming a Christian athlete. He has credibility because he is excellent at what he does, and he's authentic through and through as far as we can tell. Okay, let's move on. At the very least, a coach bag will say coach. If it doesn't say coach, it's not a coach bag. If it says Prada, it's not a coach bag. And it certainly won't say White Stag, which is a Walmart bag. Okay, it will say coach. So it matters to coach that the purse says coach. So first of all, your salvation matters. That's first point. Your salvation matters. To live an authentic Christian life, you have to first be saved. So I struggled with salvation, whether I was saved for a long time. I heard many, many, many presentations of the gospel before I finally got it settled. So we're going to go through God's glorious plan of salvation. If you are saved, we can just rejoice in it. If you're struggling with it, then you can hear the plan of salvation again. To live an authentic Christian life, you have to first be saved. Matthew 7:21, your verses are right there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It has to say coach to be a coach. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath light, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's black and white. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son of God, you have not life. So what Son is this? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. First point under that, you've sinned. You've sinned. Romans 3:10. God tells us, it is as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says about you. You've sinned. Secondly, guess what? You're doomed. You're doomed. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's your penalty. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And that would be Adam. Because you were born of man, you have a sin nature, you can't help it. And Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. So how many murders does it take for a person to commit because they're to make them a murderer? Does anybody know? Just one. How many lies does it take to tell to make you a liar? We're all liars. Raise your hand if you said a lie. Liars. Like a fire in a room with a bunch of liars. Next. You've sinned, you're doomed, but what? Christ paid. God said, somebody's got to die. I mean, I created it this way. Somebody's got to pay that penalty. And Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Penalty for sin is death, eternal death. Christ paid that penalty for us. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience men were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's Christ's redemption for you. And the last point is you win. You've sinned, you're doomed, Christ paid, but you win. I love win-win situations. You get to not be perfect or ever have to be perfect. Christ paid it for you. You get eternal life. That's a win-win situation to me because it's so simple to be saved. Just one verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I'm your neighbor and you don't have a lawnmower and I have a lawnmower and you need a lawnmower and I say to you, you can borrow my lawnmower, but you just call me whenever you need it. I'm not going to pay. I'm asking you to pay for it. So that's what the Lord says. You have to actually ask him or request it, and that's all you have to do to be saved. So another thing that matters to the makers of coach is the inside of the bag. The inside of the bag will tell you its authenticity, which with the lining, with the stamping in it, the inside. So as with us, your heart matters. It matters to God, so it should matter to you. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now here's the definition of heart. Your heart is your whole inner self, the totality of our innermost being. It's our emotions, it's our intellect, it's man's will. Mostly it's man's will. And pure means no guile, integrity as opposed to duplicity or hypocrisy. So integrity. Years ago, when we were in our 20s and we owned our first home, we had a second bathroom because all good marriages, you either have separate sinks or separate bathrooms. That's the secret to long marriages. My husband used the guest bathroom, which was happened to be on an outside wall of the house. That means there was a window, so the bathtub was against the outside wall. And one day, you know, I would keep it clean. There was no mildew. It was beautiful, sparkling clean. And then one day he noticed one little tile was, you know, little. So as all good home improvement projects go, we started it at 9:30 on a Friday night and pulled the tile off, got a little caulk out. And he said, let me see if any others. By the middle of the night, the entire wall was gone, the insulation was gone, and you could tap on the siding on the outside of the house because though the outside was beautiful, the inside was completely mildewed and rotten, and all the tiles just fell off. The green board that they used had disintegrated. So, out of the, what did I write? Excuse me just a minute. Out of the, oh, I'll just move on. How to develop that pure heart. I'm sorry. Realize that your heart is deceitful, okay? Your heart is deceitful. How many times have you wanted to do something right, but your heart said, no, you just don't have the time to do that. You know, I'm just really shy. I can't give that person a track. I can't do the right thing. That's your inner self. That's your heart telling you what to do. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Next, put your heart on trial before God. Psalms 139, 23, and 24, and she touched on this today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The next one, ask God to change your heart. Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. An authentic Coach bag comes with a warranty, and you can send it in for repairs. Did you know that? Free of charge. So Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So if the Lord needs to send you in for repair, just repent. If you love your Coach bag, send it in for repair. Coach doesn't do sloppy work, is the phrase this person used when describing the details of a Coach bag. The stitching will be even and straight. The C's, if it's a signature bag, will line up a certain way. A certain zipper will be used, certain hardware will be used. So number three, how you present yourself matters. Presenting Christ to others might be more effective if we acted like satisfied customers, which is what Kurt Skelly wrote on his Twitter. So first of all, this is such a broad topic right now that I can only touch on certain things. So the first topic is words. Now, if you want to know more about detailed words, I think Joy Keeley is doing a session on words. So words, Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In Psalm 19:4, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So of course we know, I don't even think I have to tell you, profane language should not be used if you want to project an authentic Christian life. But what about your negative attitude? The words that come in your mouth, are they negative? Winnie the Pooh versus Eeyore. This is something he, Winnie the Pooh would say, "What day is it?" "It's today," squeaked Piglet. "My favorite day," said Pooh. Okay, this is what Eeyore would say. "Nobody tells me, nobody keeps me informed, I make it 17 days come Friday since anybody spoke to me," right? What about this last verse that talks about discord? Are you a person who is eager to tell something bad? Did you hear about that pastor? Did you guys hear that Well, you know what she did, right? And it's really awesome that the Lord saved her from that. I mean, do we sow discord? Here's this verse. Is it in your note? Proverbs 6:16-19 is in there. "These things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth with wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Sowing discord with your words is as bad as killing someone in God's eyes. Isn't that awful? The next thing is, that I think it matters when you presenting yourself, is your dress. Now, of course, your dress is important. If it's not important, then somebody should tell Stacy and Clinton that it is, you know, because they built an empire around dressing people. They have a show called What Not to Wear. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And they take a belligerent person who's all dressing like a slob, and they change them and transfer them. They don't transform the person, just how you dress with your body style. And usually they come in negative and leave with a really positive, confident attitude. See if you can tell me, I'm gonna show you some slides, you can tell anything about these people by what they're wearing. Can you tell me anything about her? She's a nun. You guys wouldn't be judging, would you? Based on what she's wearing, she's a nun. Do you know what these Amish people? Yeah. Yeah, so it's not really the tattoo that's the problem, it's what it says. You know, it's that person you would hire. That person you would ask, "How can I be saved?" All right. So your dress matters. 1 Timothy 2:9, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." But then the next verse that I don't have there says, "But," and in parentheses, "which becometh women professing godliness." And there's that word again. Is the dress that we wear becoming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Our ornamentation, modest, of course, we would always presume as being covering up and not provocative. But what about the word modest as used in, say, this scenario? I had a modest meal, or I live on a modest budget. Is the clothing or the way that you dressed in a modest way that is becoming to the Lord but doesn't draw attention to you? Because the verse says here, your good works are should be what people see about you. The next big point and what matters in authentic Christian living is your actions. Your actions. So the first point there I have under there is your demeanor. Have you ever heard the term when people say something in truth, but they can follow with the term "just saying, I'm just saying"? Did you know God was the creator of that? And it's the entire book of Proverbs. So let's read it like that. "It's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Okay. It might fit you or not. Let's do them all. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing." I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Not you. I'm just saying. Okay. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And just today, if you read your Proverbs every day, just today, another verse. "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." And I know I failed miserably. Brawling means to argue noisily. Do you walk in the bathroom exasperated? "That is it. That's the last time. Get this towel off the floor. How many towels do I have to wash?" So you're yelling, screaming. Is it better for your children to dwell in the wilderness? What about this? You know, it's not possible to feel good every single day of your life, especially certain weeks of the month. How about this? When I get a headache, I take 2 aspirin and keep away from children, just like the bottle says. except if it gives you cancer, and then that's not good either. So, all right. Not just your demeanor, but your witness. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Just after we came to the church here, there was an elderly gentleman that we used to sit near in church. And one day he was having lunch, and he came across a gentleman that he was a very friendly man. He came across a gentleman, and during their lunchtime, he found out that this gentleman was in his last stages of cancer, was just out having lunch before he was about to die, literally. And this man felt like he was too shy to give him the gospel. So he asked my husband, here, I got his name, I got his address, can you go and talk to him? And sure enough, my husband was able to go over there and lead him to the Lord because he could. But who was the soul winner? Was it my husband or was it the man that said, please go? That's what witnessing is about. That's what winning souls is about. Each person you meet today will one day stand before God. Have you warned them of the judgment to come? And that was a rooted principle from the Today in the Daily in the Word just a few days ago. Are you ready? Where's my verse? Okay, are you ready today? What I learned from one of the speakers of Our Ladies Ministries here is how to give out a tract effectively. Is in your purse a tract? Are you ready always to give an account of what the Lord has done for you? And this is what she said to do, and maybe I could pass it on to you. You know how it's really hard to hand, whoa, I'm tethered. How, here. See, it's really hard to give a tract, isn't it? This is what she did, and this is very effective to me. Did you get one of these yet? Okay, here you go. Love to see you there. Especially if you're just in passing, like if you're going through the drive-through. Get a plan. Do you have a plan? Do you have a purse? Do you have a track in your purse? Do you have a track in your car? Do you have a track in your home? Are you ready always to give that out? Next. And this, I think, is the most important, is your devotions or your walk. Now, if you just do what Mrs. Wilkerson said, that's all I have to tell you. But can you turn in your Bible to Micah 6:8? Micah 6:8. Your devotions or your walk with the Lord. And I love this verse because I love the way it's worded. It just is really precious the way God used his words. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Right now in my life, I am walking with my husband. I'm walking right now with my children. I'm walking through my life with you and this church, and my neighbors. When I walk with someone through life, we have fellowship. I say to them things that are important to me, and they, by all means, say things that are important to them. They say to me those things. This is what the Bible says about your devotions or your walk with God. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I'm going to close with one little example here. Right here is Mrs. Chapel's coach purse. And I noticed her wearing it one day at a restaurant. I said to them, wow, you got a coach bag. And she held it real close, and she said, my son gave it to me. My son purchased it for me. My only begotten son, no, my second begotten son purchased this for me. And she says, I love it. But she said, it's not real. Okay? But I love it. And that's what the Lord is with us. He loves you. He doesn't love you more because you have an authentic Christian life. He loves you. But here's the difference. She loves this, she keeps it close to her, but it won't be any help to anybody else. She cannot use this bag at a coach convention. She cannot sell this bag for anything purposeful. She can only keep it real near her and love it. So if you want to be used of the Lord, live an authentic Christian life. So let's pray. Oh, but I wanted to leave you with these verses. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So thanks for coming, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we go along our day, we ask for your blessings. We ask for your guidance, Lord. We thank you for everything that you're going to teach us today. I pray for the rest of the speakers today that you would give them clarity, Lord, and bless Mrs. Chapel, and thank you so much for her and everything that she does for us. In your name, amen.